Hi, everybody. My name is Rafa Lombardino, and this is Translation Confessional. What is the most fundamental tool translators have? Yes, our language. And we must be the grammar and spelling police, not only when we're working on a project, but also when we're communicating with clients or interacting with peers online. We must use our languages well at all times. With that in mind, one tool I've been using for a while now, and I do use it constantly, is Grammarly. I've activated it on my email so I don't make any mistakes when sending a message to a client. I also have it available to me in Google Drive, so I can use it when reviewing my students' translations into English, or when I'm writing my own articles and brainstorming podcast episodes. And because I do translate into English very often, the premium version helps me keep my last draft sharp and ready for delivery. If you'd like to try out the world's best automated proofreader, visit bit.ly/tc-grammar. It's easy to remember. TC stands for Translation Confessional, followed by Grammar. Once again, you can visit Grammarly at bit.ly/tc-grammar. Keep your English sharp. Living in a bilingual household. If you haven't done so already, check part one of my interview with my husband about living in a bilingual home and being the other half of a binational couple. This is part two, and it officially wraps up season one of Translation Confessional. This time, we're going a little deeper into how our brain works with different languages, how people react differently to different nationalities, including biases and assumptions, how I used to have a British accent when we first met almost 20 years ago, and what it's like to be in Brazil soaking in all the vocabulary in Portuguese and the Brazilian culture. What you're about to hear is an edited version for audio only. I'll leave a link to the actual full video interview in this episode's description. I hope you enjoy our conversation and get an idea of what it's like being tied to two different countries and nationalities. Before we continue, I wanted to tell you about Better World Books. It's a great website to search for new and used books in several categories. You can find textbooks about translation, interpretation, and languages, as well as translated and original fiction and nonfiction. Some deals qualify for free shipping, which can really come in handy when you're on a budget. If you'd like to check out Better World Books, go to this webpage, bit.ly/tc-bwb. It's easy to remember. TC for Translation Confessional and BWB for Better World Books. Once again, the webpage is bit.ly/tc-bwb. Hope you like it. You have the other side too of how when you were working at Office Depot, which is a store that sells office furniture, office supplies, and you worked at the computer part to help people buy computer peripherals, buy the correct printer. You had at least two people that came to you that were trying to get help to buy something, and you couldn't understand them. And you don't even have an excuse because one of them was an English speaker. So it's not like speaking English a second language.
Yeah, that still like threw me off because I remember having my back to them and they were asking for some help and I was busy putting something up and I'll be right with you. And they started talking to me before I could turn around. And I could not understand one word that they said. And I turned around and it was a person with a very heavy Scottish accent. And I had to focus so much to understand what they were saying. It's like I couldn't get distracted at all by anything. It's like my full focus had to be there because it was such a strong accent. And I just remember thinking, it's like, wow, I felt like I forgot English. How does this? I could not believe that I missed so much of what he said. And I actually had to have him repeat some of the things that he was asking for.
And that takes me back to how, when we first met, you said that I had kind of a British Scottish accent. And I cannot understand how that would be possible because I couldn't make an accent right now. I just sound like this now, but I sounded different then.
Yeah. You've actually lost it. But when we first got together, certain words that you would say had more of a British accent than how we would say it here in the States. Okay. Like your O's.
Okay, I still have a problem with the word cold.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so your O's had more kind of the
British.
Yeah, more of the British inflection than they would here. Well, especially here in California, the California.
At least it doesn't sound like a California girl, a valley girl. So that's good. Yeah. It's more standard.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. The only way I can explain is that a lot of the books on tapes that my dad got me, they were British English. So some of the expressions maybe and some of the pronunciation, and also my two favorite bands back then. I would listen to a lot of Red Hot Chili Peppers and a lot of Soundgarden, Alice in Chains. But what I lived off, and I still go back to them today, is Simply Red from England and then What, Scotland. So these were the two kind of pronunciations that I was consuming a lot. Even though I had a lot of the mainstream American music that was playing on the radio all the time, but maybe that's how I modeled that.
Yeah, it's. I just thought it was entertaining because you had a mix.
Okay.
You had a mix of you throw in a little, British type of style mixed in with more of the American. So yeah, there was a mix there.
Which is funny because I was never aware of that, and I would say that most of my vocabulary is American, even studying back then, just like most of my vocabulary in Spanish is from Spain because I just, love that culture. But it's just weird because I could not fake an accent right now. I'm pretty bad with accents. So.
Yeah, that goes to one thing. I always remember when we started having conversation, I was always just so shocked on how well you were able to understand a lot of what I was saying, because I felt like I never had to change it to a more simpler English. You seem to pick up on a lot of the slangs for someone that was never out of Brazil and even
barely out of my city.
And someone that really never hung out with a lot of Americans that use a lot of these slangs. And it probably from all the times, watching TV, picking up a lot of the shows, especially that a lot of the shows actually come from California. So we share a lot of that.
Oh, just being a language nerd, I guess, just consuming all of that. And it was all in my head. And I remember when I was, younger, telling my parents I can think in English and they couldn't understand what I was saying because they don't. So they're like, oh, okay, whatever. And then after I met you and then they see us interacting and my parents say that I sound different when I'm talking to them. My voice sounds different when I'm speaking in English or Portuguese. So after they saw me interacting with you, they were able to understand. It's like, oh, that's what she means by she thinks in English. Because they just had the basic, school that they did back in college or something. And they're like, oh, yeah, I can understand English. And then when they see us interacting, they're like, I have no idea what they're saying.
Yeah, that's what just amazes me when you watch people with languages. Because being around you and your friends is just watching them, just hit that switch really fast. And some of them are really good at it. Like the one friend that, she's able to speak the Chinese and just flip that on and off. Was it the English, Russian, and then Chinese?
Spanish.
And then some Spanish. Just watching her just change that dial. And it's especially with you, it's like you were able to change that.
But only between two languages. Because you're talking about Dina. Yeah. We haven't seen her in a long time. And then also another friend, Moritz, he speaks German. But then when he talks in English to us, no problem. And then he turns to his wife and speaks Spanish. And it's like, I couldn't do that. Yeah. I go both channels. So English and Portuguese, no problem. If someone was speaking to me in Spanish or Italian, it's like, okay, I can follow. But I don't think in it, so I can't reply. So.
No, but you're able, my point is you're actually able to do that, because for, speaking for myself, when I'm here in the States, it's really interesting on every single time I hear Portuguese, I automatically want to respond in English. Mm-hmm. I for some reason, I can't turn that switch on. This is very difficult for me to respond in Portuguese. Mm-hmm. Even if someone is speaking Portuguese, it's almost, I can understand anywhere from like 70 to 90% of what they're saying, depending on, you know, where their accent and where they're from. But when we go down to Brazil, it usually takes me about a week or so, and then I'm able to do it. I'm able to respond in Portuguese. I'm able to get around it with the language. It was the same thing when we were in Italy. It was so frustrating because I grabbed the newspaper and I could sit there and read the newspaper just fine in Italian, but I couldn't flip that switch in speaking to people in Italian, because every single time I was ready to speak in Italian, Portuguese started coming in my head, and it just overwhelmed me. Because it's like I wanted to speak Italian, but I couldn't speak Italian because Portuguese is coming to my head and I'm thinking in English. And it just became overwhelming. We're just like, this is becoming difficult.
And that's why, you have to be trained as a translator or interpreter to actually do that as a job.
Yeah. It's tough. And that's the other part is I remember when we would go to Brazil, and when I was like just consuming the language, kind of absorbing the culture and the language, I just remember how exhausted and tired I was at the end of each day.
Yeah.
Because, that's all you're doing. You're just like soaking it in. And, now it's just like, it doesn't affect me. But I remember, when I first would go down there, I would be exhausted. But it's great, because that's, to me, how my brain works. That's what I need to learn. I need to be entrenched into that world, into that language, for me to learn it. It's very difficult for me to learn in a classroom, because it's almost like I could cheat. I don't have to use it. I could get around it. When I'm in Brazil, if we go to certain areas, you can't cheat. You have to.
You have to use it,
especially the one time when you went to São Paulo for the meeting, and I was in Santos with the kids, and I'm there with the kids, and so we have to go to the store, we have to go get something to eat. I can't depend on people to speak English, especially in Santos.
Yeah.
Even though there might be, but I can't depend on that. So, I'm going to have to use it. I can't cheat. I'm forced to be part of the culture. And I think that's also the nice thing that really helps is being in areas where you start learning that language because of the, kind of just the environment, too.
Because there's not going to be a lot of Americans or people that speak English that are going to come to you.
Because your parents would come over, but they don't speak English. So how am I going to communicate with your parents? How am I going to, go get something to eat for the kids?
The kids were still too small. It's like, Marissa does a better job now, but it's like, she was 7. So it was harder for her to.
So if we want to go to a place, it's like, okay, if we get a taxi, how am I going to communicate with the taxi driver? I got to speak, I got to know the language. But that's also something that I noticed that happens is when you weren't there, I got around just fine. I wasn't at that conversation level. I couldn't have conversations with people, but I could communicate enough where
I could survive.
I could survive. But that's the other part is I noticed like a lot of times, when you're there, I noticed that I've become used to you're the one that always engages.
Just get lazy.
Yeah. That's the other part. It's just like I'm so used to you're the one that always takes the initiative. You're the one that always engages. That.
But there's the one problem of how when we were in Italy and then just to try to get things done quicker instead of me trying to think in Italian and trying to communicate, like when we went to get like my skin was too dry, I wanted to get lotion, we went to this pharmacy, and then I tried to ask the guy in pretty plain English if he had lotion that I could buy, and it ended up being 20 euros, and I got so upset. It's like, it shouldn't be this expensive. Now if I had spoken Italian to him, or even if I had tried to speak Portuguese to him, it would probably be half the price.
Well, no, if you remember, we started to catch on. Because when we would go eat at these little shops and we would eat at these little places. And it's interesting because when we would first go to these little shops, we would be charged a certain amount for the food. And then one time we communicated in Portuguese, not English, and the price changed.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, it was this little booth that we got sandwiches from.
Yeah.
And we went to that booth a couple times. When we spoke English, it was more expensive yep. than when we spoke Portuguese.
Yep.
And then we were like, okay. So everywhere we started going, we made sure that the person heard us speak Portuguese rather than English. Mm-hmm. So we got, I guess, the normal price.
Exactly. It's like, oh, they're tourists, but they're okay. They're not Americans.
Yeah.
Going back to how you're talking about getting around in Brazil when you're speaking Portuguese and trying to, you know, soak it in. I know that you get very frustrated when you try to speak Portuguese to someone. You're trying to reply. You're saying it correctly. But people just look at you like they have no idea. Maybe like you were looking at this Scottish guy and you had no idea what he was saying. Even though he was speaking English, you couldn't understand it. And even though you're speaking Portuguese, and even to friends of mine, they couldn't understand you speaking Portuguese because they're expecting English to come out of your mouth. So even though you're speaking Portuguese and you're trying to reply correctly, they just look at you and then you get frustrated.
Yeah, that's always been very frustrating. When you're trying to speak and they don't respond, to me it comes across as they're being rude.
Mm.
They're not being helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because here in the States, I always found a lot of people, like me and my friends, we were always very helpful and encouraging in, you know, trying to get people to understand what they're saying, you know, because we always live so close to the border. So, you know, you get a lot of Mexicans that won't speak English. So what you do is you work with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you try to find out with little Spanish that we know because we live so close. You try to work with the mm-hmm. people when they're trying to communicate. And I couldn't tell you how many times I've been in Brazil and you just get these just blank looks. There's no response. Or what they do is I've actually had it where I've talked to people and then they just smile, giggle, and laugh at you. And it's like, how is that? I mean, okay, I don't understand. You know, mm-hmm. did I say something wrong? Or what? I mean, what's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, if I said something, that joke in Portuguese, okay, I'm fine with that.
That's the right response.
Right. But if I'm asking a question or I need help with something and that's the response you give me, you know,
yeah.
it comes across as yeah. it's just a rude way to respond to
yeah.
people. And that's off-putting. And what happens is that discourages some people mm-hmm. to even try to communicate because yeah. it's like, why even make the effort to try to communicate in their own language when they're not trying to also encourage you,
yeah.
you know, to keep speaking that language because yeah. that's not a good way to encourage people, you know.
But I've tried to explain to you that it's like, you know, don't take it personal. And I know that it's frustrating, but try to remember that, especially where I used to live, you know, where my family is at, there are not a lot of people that are going to speak English. So what happens is people don't know how to react. If you go to Rio, if you go to São Paulo, you're going to find a lot more people that are going to be comfortable engaging with someone that speaks English because there's a lot more tourists around, but not in my city. So what happens is first they get completely nervous when there's a foreigner around. And it could be, you know, American, German, whatever. I would say that it's not true when it's someone speaking Spanish, because we do have, you know, so many Spanish countries around Brazil that whenever we have someone that speaks Spanish, we always treat like hermanos, you know. So Brazilians would be more welcoming when it's someone speaking yeah. Spanish, even though we have rivalries with Argentina because of soccer. But anyway. With you, people will always just shut down. It's not because it's you, but it's because it's English. And going to school to learn English in Brazil and how we are mocked about, you know, oh, if you say it like that, they're going to make fun of you. So we kind of grow up going through the system of learning English in Brazil as, oh, if you go to Disney, because that's where all Brazilians want to go to. If you go to Disney and you ask for a hot doggy, for a hot dog, you just say hot dog with a Brazilian accent, they're going to make fun of you. So in the back of our minds, there's always this thing of how, you know, all Americans are going to make fun of me. So when they see an American, they freeze. So that's yeah. how they're reacting to you. I understand it's counterproductive. Yeah. They're not going to help yeah. you. They're just going to giggle and walk away when you're trying to yeah. buy something. But that's just the reaction yeah. that, you know.
I'm just telling how, like, how me and my friends have experienced it. I can't speak for other people. Mm-hmm. I know there's other people out there that, you mm-hmm. know, that are going to make fun of it. I mean, that's just going to happen everywhere.
Yeah.
But the point I'm just trying to make is the fact is when you're going to a place of business,
mm-hmm.
when you're going into ask for help, like at a hotel,
yeah.
Any professional place,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it's the appropriate way, you know.
They just don't know how to act differently because there's this trauma, you know.
But I've actually been very surprised the last couple times we've gone down there. I've been really surprised on how many more people speak English.
Well, it's been two decades and, you know, things change. I mean, remember the internet when we first met?
Yeah.
So there are a lot more people that never went to take English classes at a formal setting. They know a lot more English because they have YouTube, pretty much. They just YouTube has been teaching them English all along.
Yeah. What just still blows me away is the time that we went to the airport. The guy that was helping us out, do you remember the one time where we went up there and I couldn't trace an accent out of this guy at mm-hmm. all? Then he turns around, speaking Portuguese to some of his coworkers.
Yeah.
Then a Japanese person comes up. He starts speaking Japanese to that person there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like going, wow.
And I think there was some Spanish in there too.
Yeah, there was some,
maybe even French, I don't remember.
But it just amazed me just how, when you're talking, you know, how people respond,
mm-hmm.
you know, like at the airport, you know, they're not going to do that. But, you know, it's just...
Because the qualification for you to work at the airport, you should speak at least two languages, so...
Yeah, and it seems like in Brazil, they always speak more than two. Yeah. A lot of them do.
But there's this thing of like, you know, oh, you have to learn English so you can be successful. That's the mentality that we get from, you know, very early on. That's why we have English classes in pre-K in Brazil. And then when they're faced with an actual setting that is not the book and the little things that we memorize... They just freeze.
Yeah. Well, my opinion is some Americans, I think, need to learn English, especially when we talk about how much slang we use.
Yeah. No, slang is fine, but it's just when we learn English as a second language, we learn it differently. Like, I still remember talking to some of our friends who are very educated English speakers that they speak English very well. They could not understand when I was telling them about countable and uncountable nouns. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you don't say, I want a water. You just say, I want some water, because you can't count water. Yeah. Unless you say one drop of water, and you be very specific, you have to say a glass of water. You can't just say, I want a water. Some people would say, I want a coffee, but it sounds weird, because you can't count coffee. It's not one coffee. It's one cup of coffee. You know what I mean?
But, okay, you're talking about something. Is it my brain that works
As
here,
a monolingual speaker.
Yeah. Here, when you say, I want a water, I'm thinking of, is it in a cup or mm-hmm. a bottle? That's what you're referring to when mm-hmm. you want a water.
Mm-hmm. But that's improper, because that's how we're hammered down when we're learning English, of how water is, you can count. So you have to say, I want some water. I want a little water. I want a lot of water. You have to use some kind of quantifier, because water, you can't count. It's not, you know, the same thing like, you know, I want one sandwich. It's okay, because you can have a unit of sandwich, but you can have a unit of water. So when I mention, you know, countable and uncountable nouns, my friends are like, monolingual Americans that only speak English, that speak English well, they mistake fewer and less. And that's what I make fun of, because I have to.
Yeah, constantly.
Yeah. So that's why I have that shirt that says, I'm silently correcting your grammar. Because every time someone says, you know, oh, less people, now it's fewer.
That's the whole part. Living here is we're going to use a lot of improper ways of saying things, mm-hmm. but it's understood.
Yeah.
We don't go around, you know, correcting every time someone says that, except for if you're a language person.
Oh, well, that's my job.
Yeah.
Send me an email at rlombardino@wordawareness.com. or leave a voice message on my anchor page. If I get enough feedback and voice messages, I can go back to the subject and post a special podcast episode with everyone's opinion on this very same theme. By the way, my anchor page is anchor.fm/translation-confessional. I look forward to hearing from you. Stay tuned for weekly episodes and subscribe to Translation Confessional through your favorite podcast app.